G'day and welcome to another Tasmanian Tales Tall and True show with me, your host, Mark Ransley, all the way from sunny Tasmania. Strangely enough, it is sunny. We've just entered winter and it's pretty cold, but makes a difference when the sun's out compared to, you know, just always rain and cloud. But anyway, I'm going to talk about dangerous pursuits today. But we might have a song first. Let's have a listen to this. Funky Again by Custard.
Sehnsüchtig auf dieses Kleid gewartet.
Es gibt absolut keinen Anlass, darauf zu warten.
Erinnerst du dich überhaupt noch?
An was genau soll ich mich erinnern?
Amazing song. I've played that a lot of times over the years. It's about, must be close to 20 years old now. But you should, if you get a chance, have a look at the film clip. It's magnificent. It's Custard, it's a strange name for a band. They're a Queensland band, an indie band, or an independent band. Massive following. But a lot of these indie bands don't make any money, I suppose. But that's, they call themselves the music purists, don't they? Money is, you know, they sort of thumb their nose at money, but then eventually they come around and money wins every time. Anyway, I want to talk to you about dangerous pursuits today. It's something that has always drawn me. I'm not sure why. I was pretty bad at ball sports. No, I wasn't pretty bad. I was shockingly bad. I wasn't very good at running or swimming even, which is odd because I became a professional diver. But my passion as a boy and 50 years later is still dirt bikes, all sorts of dirt bikes. I've lost count of how many I've had, but in consultation with my couple of mates and couple of brothers, we've settled on a figure of about 40, over 40, probably less than 50, which is an obscene amount of dirt bikes if you think about it. That's sort of one a year pretty much for the best part of 50 years. Started off because I was a lazy kid. I didn't like walking up. We used to walk home from school. We used to get a lift to school. We'd have to walk home from school. And walking home was, a lot of the walk home was uphill. And I'd seen these mini bikes at the show and the regatta, these Honda QA50s when I was a kid, and I was just absolutely in awe of these little mini bikes. And I was fortunate enough that my cousin used to work in a car yard, and in this car yard they had these Honda QA50 mini bikes. And one afternoon, me and my brother and my cousins got to zoom around this car park on these QA50 Hondas, which obviously now would be totally and utterly illegal, but in those days it was great, and that sort of got me hooked. And it wasn't just the you know, the excitement of it. I mean, these things went flat out. They'd be lucky if they did 25 miles an hour. That wasn't the point. I was excited predominantly because I was lazy, and I thought, wouldn't it be good to have a mini bike so I could, you know, instead of walking and struggling up these hills, you know, I could just twist the throttle, and a mini bike would you know, get me up this hill and get me home. I wouldn't have to walk and carry my bags and my books and stuff like that. And because I gave no thought whatsoever to the legalities of that, I was only about 8 or 9. I didn't think of that side of it, but yeah, I was just determined to get my first mini bike as soon as I could. So turned out I was 12 years old when I got my first one. It was a Dexon, built by John Deck and Son in Sydney, New South Wales. They were what they call a kit bike. So you buy the frame, and then you con your father into either pulling apart his lawnmower and putting that engine in the bike, or getting hold of another lawnmower engine somewhere else and doing it that way. My first bike in 1976 cost me $100 on the nose. Doesn't sound like much now, but that was like a, you know, lifetime's of savings for me with my paper runs and my pocket money. And yeah, it was just the most exciting. I didn't sleep for you know many nights prior to getting this bike. I knew it was coming, but I had to wait about a week. And oh god, you know what a kid's like when a toy's coming. Got no, I had no self control in that regard. But yeah, sleepless nights. Obviously, wasn't interested in school or anything else really. Just had to get hold of this bloody bike. Anyway, my father, He, long-suffering father, he took me down to pick up this bike, have a look at it and pick it up. I wasn't interested in having a look at it. I just wanted to pick it up. I didn't care if it didn't even go, you know. My super dad would get it going. And so down we went to Lauderdale, which was only about 15, 20 minutes from home in those days. And we picked up this magnificent Dexon mini bike. And on the front, number plate where motocross bikes would have a number, was this magnificent picture of Donald Duck. I still got pictures of that, you know, and I just pictures of me zooming along with Donald Duck on the front plate, and my older brother Paul also doing the same. She was only a one speed bike, so it had what they call a centrifugal clutch, and a Victor lawnmower engine in it, and away you went. She didn't go very fast, and she didn't like hills, and she wasn't all that reliable, but hey, I had my first ever motorbike, and oh my god, I thought I was pretty flash. Anyway, let's have a song first. Video Killed the Radio Star by The Buggles.
Sympathy, rewritten by machine on new technology, and now I-
that song, Video Killed the Radio Star, came out in 1980, which put me at about 16 years of age. And it was one of the first ever, you know, songs in those days that came out with a film clip. And it was, you know, the precedent, I suppose you'd say, of the world was changing, and you know, video clips were on the way. MTV was just a thought in those days, but yeah, it's a catchy old song, and not many people haven't heard that one, I'd say.
You are listening to Bexhill Radio, the free phenomenon of online broadcasting straight to your phone, laptop, or any other device with an internet connection. Pre-recorded shows, live shows, and special interest shows, broadcasting 7 days a week from 6 a.m. till 10 p.m. Be part of the phenomenon. Bexhill Radio. Bexhillradio.com.
Listen to Bexhill's Brighter Brunch with me, Lynn Watts. News, views, lots of tips, and a little bit of music thrown in. Monday to Friday at midday. Only here on Bexhill Radio.
Beachcombers Hair Salon, 79 Western Road, Bexhill on Sea, TM41DT. Telephone 01424 213881. Professional skills and friendly atmosphere. Follow us on Facebook. Call James for a no-obligation quote at JJM Fencing and Landscaping. For all your landscaping needs, fencing repairs or replacements in Bexhill. Check out my next door reviews. Call 07491 707 019.
Don't forget to listen to Remember This with Charlie Watts for an hour every weekday evening from 5 p.m. Just remember that just one song can trigger 1,000 memories, and you never know what you might hear. Only on Bexhill Radio.
Bexhill Radio. Don't lock up your daughters. Tune them into Bexhill Radio and save on the dog food.
Bexhill Radio at www.bexhillradio.com.
Anyway, so back to my mini bike. So I've got this beautiful mini bike, but of course, I had a couple of mates with mini bikes. One had a full-size motorbike, which was pretty flash. I couldn't compete with that. He wasn't much of a paper-run boy or a working sort of chap, but he must have had pretty wealthy parents or something. I never understood that, because they didn't really live in a very nice house or you know, they didn't seem to have any money, but always had... He always had the best of the new dirt bikes, where the rest of us had to scrape and save and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and do paper runs and that. But anyway, good on him. But what happened was, obviously, with the other two blokes that I'd sort of ride with, my bike was fairly primitive, fairly basic, just one speed, wouldn't go up steep hills, didn't go very fast. You know, so of course, as a kid, you want to keep up with the Joneses, don't you? And so I thought, okay, this is good, I love it, but I want a better one. So I found, in those days, the only way you could find out whether you know, motorbikes, mini bikes, trail bikes, dirt bikes, whether they were for sale, was to buy the local paper, which I'd just delivered to myself. So when I'd pick up the papers in the morning to deliver them, big stack of papers, you'd put it in your sort of haversack. And away you'd go. But in the light at the shop where I'd pick up the newsagent, where I'd pick up the papers, I'd open the paper and look in the motorcycle section for sale. And, you know, mostly there was nothing. But eventually I found a Gemini 50cc mini bike. And I was just absolutely in love. It was $200. And I thought, okay, I haven't got $200. I've got a Dixon worth $100. So my first thought was, okay, my brother, Paul, he was also loved his motorbikes too, but I just beat him to the, pipped him to the post, you know. Pipped him at the post, and I got one first. Anyway, long story short, I sold the Dixon to him for $100 and started saving and saving and saving. I did a bit of selling of papers at night time, the afternoon edition and the evening edition of the Saturday Evening Mercury, it was called. And that would make me $3, $4, $5, $6 a night in those days, which was pretty good. And I think I was on a couple of bucks a week, you know, pocket money. So anyway, it added up, and eventually I had enough money to purchase this Gemini 50cc mini bike, and I was absolutely in heaven. My mates were, I wouldn't say they were jealous, they were sort of, what's this, you know, what's this thing? They were sort of, yeah, it's made in Taiwan, mate. I said, I don't care, it's made in Taiwan, I don't care where it's made, you know, because they had Japanese stuff. In those days, well, no one really knew, even understood how good Japanese stuff was compared to the other. But I didn't care. I had my Gemini 50cc four-speed with a manual clutch, a rear foot brake, rear suspension. Just an absolute beauty, shiny, and I love that thing. I remember my father took me over to pick it up again. You'll notice my father is often in these stories, but he took me over and picked it up, put it in the boot of the car, and heaven. We were lucky because where we lived at home, just down in front, we had some bushland, and so it was a great place for a young kid to explore. You know, as a kid, I got to do all sorts of fun stuff with the neighbours and she oak wars, which is chucking these very nasty, we'll call them a seed of a she oak tree. It's a bit like getting hit in the face with a marble. With a spiky marble, how's that? But anyway, that was just one of the stupid things we used to do in high-risk stuff. Anyway, it's also a great place to ride mini bikes and dirt bikes and whatever. I mean, there was no thought given to the neighbours or what noise we made or any of that. And really, no one really complained, to tell you the truth. We weren't that noisy, and we didn't do it all day. But we were lucky ducks, anyway. Better rest me tonsils, eh? Let's have another song. I do love this one. Losing My Religion by R.E.M.
Consider just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up you. And I don't know if I can do it.
I'm always of the view that that song, it's been played, you know, imagine how many times that song's been played around the world over the years. I think it came out in about 1990. It's, R.E.M. is fantastic, fantastic band, and they've always been on my playlist since then. But
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Oh, bravo.
More.
This is BexHillRadio.com.
Anyway, so getting back to the bike. So it came to pass that about less than a year later that I got my amazing Gemini. My parents decided in consultation with the three of us, the three boys, you know, so we moved, and the place we moved to had the most amazing thing any young fellow could dream of. It had its own paddock, like big enough to make a dirt bike track. So, you know, I thought I was in heaven living in the previous place at Rosny. But this place at Ropey was like, it was heaven. And I was able to have chooks. I'd wanted chooks for a long, long time. Because I could see, I was a pretty canny young kid. I knew how to make a dollar, and that's all it was, a dollar. But, you know, it all added up. And plus, the new neighbourhood we'd moved to was fairly working class. We were sort of in a nice part of it, like separated, I guess, on 3.5 acres of land, and I was a very, very fortunate fellow. So I got walked straight away into another paper run, or two paper runs, I should say, a night one and a morning one. And my parents kindly bought me some chooks. I think I got a dozen chooks the first time, and I was just, you know, I was the happiest kid alive. You know, I had my chooks, selling the eggs. I managed to get hold of an old incubator, and so I started incubating my own eggs, and, you know, raising chickens and raising them up to pullet stage, point of lay pullet stage, and sell them. But that takes 4 or 5 months from, you know, from hatching to you've got a point of lay pullet. But the other source of income, of course, was my eggs, selling eggs, just mostly to neighbours and some, you know, friends of my parents and that. I still remember that, a dollar a kilo, which, you know, a dozen, I mean. So, like, which was a decent amount then. You know, I wasn't giving them away. I wasn't making a lot of money. But so the year was 1978. So if you picture that, $1 a dozen for eggs, probably about right. And I was making anywhere up to $10 a night from a paper run and another $6 or $7 for the morning run. So, you know, I'm making $20-$25 a week, which, you know, for a boy in those days, that was a fair whack of money, and that kept me in you know, fuel for my bikes and you know, repairs. And I didn't struggle at all. I was very lucky. And so and having our own dirt bike track, which was, you know, we were sort of looked at like a, you know, people look at you like, yeah, you spoiled little bugger. But I mean, you know, I used to earn my stuff pretty much. And you know, my parents both worked very hard to be able to, you know, afford this place. My other brothers weren't that interested in chickens or paper runs, but they had their own, you know, interests and pursuits. And basically everyone was just so happy, you know, just happy times. Until one night in late 1978, I was asleep and I got woken up by the sound of these, you know, yelping dogs, just barking and yelping. And I'm like, what the hell is that, you know? And because we all heard it, you know, it woke us all, but it stopped after about, you know, 15-20 minutes, and it was just a horrible, you know, noise. But I thought, what the hell's that? But yeah, got up the next morning and I knew what it was. The neighborhood pack of dogs had come in and ripped my chickens to shreds, all of them, lost a lot. So I was about 24 by that time. I didn't have any chickens. No, that's not true. I had young chickens in a separate cage. They couldn't get to them or weren't interested, but they shredded my my chicken farm and broke my heart, you know. When you imagine, I was like a 16-year-old boy trying to make a quid. It wasn't just the fact that I was, it wasn't financial at all that bothered me. It was these poor chooks that got slaughtered by these bloody dogs that, you know, irresponsible owners didn't give a stuff about keeping in. But, broke my heart and took me a long time to get back on my feet after that. Anyway, time for a song. Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush. Have a listen, eh?
Yeah.
massive Kate Bush fan since I was a prepubescent lad. Obviously, the first one that came to my attention was Wuthering Heights, which stayed at number one in Australia for weeks and weeks on end. I think it might have even pipped Bohemian Rhapsody at the time, to be honest, and ABBA's Fernando, but yeah, Kate Bush. The running up that hill, as you know, it's had a resurgence with Stranger Things, and she's given Kate another payday, because it went viral around the globe, and good on her. That Stranger Things was a good show, I've got to tell you that. I've watched it, oh God, three times with my son, Owen. We love it, but anyway.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Oh, bravo.
More.
This is BexHillRadio.com.
So, the Chooks have all been slaughtered. I'm distraught, shall we say. It's Mum and Dad, obviously, sprung for some new Chooks, which is very nice of them. I sort of got back in business, but it was distressing, and it was really, really horrible time to see these poor things the way they were killed. They weren't even all killed outright. They were just maimed, some of them. And so living where we did, what we had, it was a fairly new suburb, and it was surrounded by lots and lots of paddocks, so plenty of open space for a young fella to spread his wings, shall we say. So rather than just stick to our sort of our personal motocross track, which no one else could come on other than us boys and our mates and that, there's another place that you could go, which was not just over the creek. So there was a creek that boundary of our place, and you crossed this creek, a small bridge across a creek, and away you went on your bike. So I had a bigger bike by then, a Suzuki RM80B, 1979 model, first brand new bike I ever got, Yeah, I was certainly, I was killing the pig with my Chooks. I tell you, I was doing well. I was making about just under $50 a week with my Chooks and my two paper runs. So that's double the income. Anyway, we used to think of these paddocks that surrounded this suburb as pretty much ours. As kids do, they don't think too much about other people, or legalities, or what happens if liabilities and that, what happens if you get hurt, what happens if you leave a gate open, because we'd often just open a gate and go through it and close. We were smart enough to close the gate, because I reckon we would have been strung up if we didn't. But these pursuits of ours led to more than several police chases. So the police cars would try and catch us, and we'd zoom off, of course. And most of the time we got away. They only caught me twice. Once was down there where I just couldn't get away. They got me cornered and I was done for. And I had to actually go to court with that one. But another time I got caught in a totally different place. We took the bikes on trailers out in the bush, and I got done for trespassing, which was obviously no joy to my poor father, because he hated going to court for his bloody wayward son. They were my only crimes, was riding dirt bikes and trespassing on property. But wasn't like I did anything. We were pretty bloody innocent, I'll tell you that, as kids. So, but then in those days, it was a fairly evil crime. So off to court I went twice. But have a song. I Will Wait by Mumford & Sons.
I fell heavy into your arms. These days of darkness, wish we'd known, will blow away with this new sun. But strong, and use my head alongside my heart. So tame my flesh and fix my eyes. A tethered mind freed from the lies. And
love that Irish sound, Mumford and Sons. They're just, yeah, great songwriters, great singers, great everything. I'd love to go and see them. Maybe one day, you never know. I hope to come over to the UK next year, so might be able to run into them in Ireland or somewhere. Who knows?
Thinking of selling your home? Call Bexhill Estates, Bexhill's most highly rated estate agent, for your free no-obligation valuation today on 01424 233330.
In need of a plasterer? Watts Plastering provides affordable plastering, building and decorating services. Contact us today for a quote on 07 376 958 170 or email whatsplasteringservices@gmail.com.
The Catch Fish Bar. The finest fish and chips in Hastings. 211A Bexhill Road, Bexhill. Telephone 01424 424 749.
Tune in for The Rock Machine. Saturday at 10, Sunday at midday with me, Lynn Watts. Only here on BexhillRadio.com.
Man. gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We're currently circling at approximately 125 beats per minute, so please remove all drinks from the dance floor and extinguish any cigarettes. Please strap in safely and hold on tight, as we're expecting a rather turbulent music mix. Thank you.
You're listening to
Bexhill Radio at www.bexhillradio.com.
Anyway, so just back to this dangerous pursuits and that. So eventually I grew up, and but I still had my dirt bikes, and you know, they were my life, really, you'd have to say. But it came to pass that I had a son many years later, of course, 20 odd years later, and his name's Owen. And Owen, of course, he was very interested in motorbikes. I don't think I pushed him into it. We did go and watch the Krusty Demons doing a show one time, doing the stunts and, you know, somersaults on bikes and all that sort of stuff. And he was fairly taken with that. And I thought, well, you know, let's get you a bike then, eh? Let's get you a bike. He wasn't enjoying his schooling that much and that, so let's get him a bike. So I came across these bikes for, and they were cheap. They were cheap. And I, you know that, you know the saying, good, fast, cheap, pick any two? Well, that's what happens with Chinese dirt bikes, I can tell you that. So one of them cost me in excess of $2,000, and I thought, which was cheap for a dirt bike if it was Japanese. And that was the father one. The son one was about $1,300. Again, cheap. But it doesn't take very long to realize that now we know why they're cheap, because they're absolute rubbish. Absolutely the worst things. I don't know how they're even legal to sell them, to be honest. I mean, and the thing is, I should have known. I've used, you know, hope there's no Chinese listening, but I've used Chinese outboard motors, much to my distress. I've used lots of Chinese tools, you know, power tools and spanners, you name it. They all break or fail every time. And you'd think I'd know better, but oh no, didn't. The alarm bells were ringing, but of course I was deaf as a post. So we bought these bikes and we took them away on the first trip. We went out the bush on a trailer, and it was great. You know, father and son, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And, you know, we thought, This is great. But, you know, the breakdowns, constantly breaking down, I was like, I think enough's enough, you know. So I sold them, and the big one for me cost me over $2,000. I got $600 for it. It had only done a few hours work, if that. And an Owen's bike, the smaller one, the 125. I sold that for $350. So that's not a great business move on my part, was it? As usual, I buy things dear and sell them cheap. It seems to be a theme in my life. I might have to look into that. You know what interested me, though, was Owen wasn't overly worried about the reliability of these bikes. He got the bug, you see. He got the dirt bike bug, and so of course he wanted a motorbike when he got older, 16, 17 sort of thing. And he bought a lovely Kawasaki KLX 250. Or we bought a KLX 250, and that was when he was riding it on the road too, on his learners, and that was when my worrying began. How ironic is that, eh? To be worried and stressed out about my son being on the road riding bikes. Just imagine what I must have put my parents through, eh? Unbelievable. Anyway, let's have a song. The Living Thing by ELO.
Mm-hmm.
see from your worst day.
I'm taking a dive.
I'm moving in line. Then you look back in time to the first day.
I'm taking.
And you and your sweet desire.
Don't you do it, don't you do it.
Oh, hello. It's a magnificent band from the 70s. Well, it's not long after that, but that's when I first struck them. Anyway, time has defeated me, so I'd like to thank you for coming and having a listen to my tale, and I'll catch you next week with another tall tale. Till then, it's Uru from me. We'll go out with The Long Way Home by Supreme.
Sing the Wasted.